Translation, I'm certainly most abominable and unfortunate to have merged in an ocean of sinful activities. But nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see these four exalted personalities who came to rescue me. Now I feel exceedingly happy because of their visit. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're continuing the reading from Srimad Bhagavatam about how Ajamil was delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. And the sixth canto is the beginning of a different subject matter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 subject matters within it. And the sixth canto begins with the subject matter called Poshanam. Poshanam means protection by the Lord. And hence all the pastimes which are included here, Ajamil, Chitraketu, Vrittasura, these are all protection by the Lord. That's why the sixth canto is about Poshanam. This pastime of Ajamil has two aspects. The first one, which was dealt with in the chapter 1 of this pastime, which was the powerful effect of the material energy of Maya. And now, in the conversation that's ensuing, we'll be speaking on the glories of the holy name. When a devotee in America was speaking to his father, and he mentioned to his father, who was a hunter, that if you carry on in this hunting, then a fate awaits you where the Yama Dutas will come and get you. Preaching by the son to the father. Not so tactful. And his father said, I don't believe in all these things. And he said, no, the Yama Dutas will come and get you. And his father said, I have never heard of these Yama, whatever they are. I've heard of Yamaha, but not Yama Dutas. Yamaha I know of, but not Yama Dutas. So anyway, his son said, but look, here's the evidence. And he showed him this famous picture from the coming back of the three Yama Dutas pulling at the soul. So anyway, the father didn't really believe in it. But when father really got sick many years later, and he was at home, and he was on his bedside, he was screaming away, that don't let them come near me. Don't let them come near me. So the son was called, and the father said to him, get your Krishna to help me. Don't let them come near him. So the son couldn't see anything, of course. And the family dog was looking at the ceiling, barking away. Dogs have extra perception. Not only do they hear higher pitches of sound, they also can see subtler forms of life. So anyway, so the son realized. So immediately he organized a little puja of Nrisimhadev and chanted. And by the morning, the father was better. And the father mentioned, yes, they came. I saw them. And so immediately he took the beads and was chanting away. He said, I must chant. So he looked at the picture and he took the book from his son again, coming back. Second chance. Cover of second chance, isn't it? And the father was looking at the picture. And if we look at this picture, there are three Yamadutas that are there. And in Puranic references, it's mentioned why three Yamadutas are there. In that reference, it suggests that we commit sins with the body, with the mind, and with words. So three Yamadutas come to punish the sins that were committed by the body, the mind, and the words. That's why there were three Yamadutas. And the only reference why in the picture there are four Vishnudutas, there's no Puranic reference anywhere, or scripture reference, but Prabhupada quotes that Ajamil, he uttered Narayana, four syllables. And the four syllables manifested four Vishnudutas. It's the only reference I found Prabhupada speaking on that. That's why there were four. So I don't know if there's any more in other syllables, but that's the only reference he makes on that. We can look at the life of Ajamil in many perspectives. But why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the divine qualities of Ajamil are described before his fall down is described. This is a principle that's there. If we look at the first chapter, all the divine qualities of Ajamil were described earlier on. And then his fall down was described. And why this is so is because to show us the power of the material energy. The power of the material energy. In the first chapter, in Sixth Canto, chapter 1, text 56, 16 divine qualities that Ajamil possessed were described, which was interesting. It wasn't just he had a few qualities, but he had 16 good qualities. And that verse is, I am Hishruti Sampana Silavrita Gunalaya Dritavrato Mridu Danta Satyavan Mantra Vikshuchi. I am he, this person, Ajamil. He was Shruti Sampana. This is the first quality, that he was well-versed in Vedic literature. Not only had he done the introductory course, the sabbatical, the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and beyond, he was well-versed. Shruti Sampana. I am he, Shruti Sampana. Shila Vrita. Shila refers to that he was of good character. So this is interesting because we always think Ajamil, well, maybe he was doing this, that, or the other, but here he's, these are qualities he possessed. Good character, isn't it? For I feel in many many devotees that often are looking for, seeking employment outside. They always need a character reference. For those of you that may be looking for a job, you'll need a character reference. So, his is described as Shila. He was of good character. Prabhupada, he paraphrases on character. He's speaking or paraphrasing Shakespeare. when Shakespeare speaks of character. Shakespeare said that when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. Because you can get it back again. If you ever lose your money, you can always work hard and get it back again. So he says, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. Because it's not possible always to get it back. Yesterday, Vishwam Babu was speaking about how to get health back. Swimming, best exercise, different things. Because you lose it. You lose your health. So Shakespeare said that when health is lost, something is lost. And Shakespeare finally speaks on this principle of Shila, or character. He says, when character is lost, everything is lost. But in the age of Kali, that's reversed. When character is lost, nothing is lost. Nobody's worried. When health is lost, we do worry. Something is going wrong. But when wealth is lost, everything is lost. Everything is lost. So we've reversed. Kali Yuga means reversing everything. So this is one principle that's being reversed. So Sila, Vrita, he was of good conduct. He didn't need to go to any Vaishnava etiquette course or anything, just to remind him what he should be doing. He was already of good conduct. And Guna Alaya. Guna Alaya means he was a reservoir of good qualities. Ajama was a reservoir of good qualities. That's four of the 16. Then it mentions Dridavrato. And in the purport here, Dridavrata is being, or the word for word, it's being translated that fixed in executing Vedic injunctions. Ajamil was fixed in executing his Vedic injunctions. And the Acharyas comment on this word, Dridavrata, that he was a perfect brahmachari. Dridavrata is translated as the perfect brahmachari. Not, he wasn't trying to be a brahmachari, nor was he a good brahmachari, but he was a perfect brahmachari. Six, mridu, which means he was mild-mannered. Danta, completely in control of his mind and senses. Mantravit, he could perfectly chant Vedic mantras. And suchihi, he was always neat and clean, which means that he didn't engage in any illicit activity. Then, the next six I mentioned, Guru Agnir Atito Vriddhanam Sushushrur Ahankritaha Sarvabhuta Surit Sadur Mitavag Anusuyaha. Here it's mentioned that he was shushushur, which means that he was respectfully engaged in service to Guru, Atithi, and Vriddhanam. Guru is Guru. Atithi means any guests. He was respectfully engaged in their service. And Vriddha means the elderly. This was the qualities that he possessed. Number 12 was anahankritaha, that he was without false pride. And 13, sarva bhuta surit. He was friendly to all living beings. Friendly to all living beings in Vedic terms also means he was a vegetarian, obviously. Friendly to all living beings. Sadhu, and the definition of sadhu that's given here is that no one could find fault in him. No one could find any fault in him. There is a reference given like that in Mahabharata to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And he's described that his name is also Ajatashatru. That one whose enemy was never born. And hence, you could never find a fault in him. So Ajamil was similar. Mitavak means, it's 15, character 15 that he had, controlling his eating and speaking. Vak. And finally, 16th divine quality that he had is Anusuyaha, that he was non-envious. So these are 16 qualities that are described that Ajamil possessed before his fall down is described. Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki Sitaram Lakshman Hanumaniki. So anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness will probably only have a fraction of these qualities before joining. How many of us had studied Vedic literature? How many of us had followed any sanskaras? How many of us were truthful? How many of us were determined to follow the vows that we'd kept? How many of us kept any vows? Is the real question. Dhrida Vrata. We probably had Graha Vrata. Dhrida Vrata and Graha Vrata. We vowed to enjoy life to the maximum. That was the vow we'd probably taken. So these 16 divine qualities are described first before the fall down, so that we can understand the seriousness of Maya. Even if we are perfectly following at a moment's notice, there can be a fall down. And that's why those divine qualities were mentioned first. And all of us are practicing Krishna consciousness, and we may be also feeling and experiencing divine qualities when we come from an atmosphere of materialism and practice Krishna consciousness, will also experience divine qualities. But this pastime is reminding us that we should not become complacent. We should not become secure. We should not be thinking, I'm safe now. I can cruise my way back home, back to Godhead. I've got it made. No, this is a warning that at every moment there is danger. In the Upanishads, the verse is given, Surasya dhara nishita duratyaya. That spiritual life is like walking on a razor's edge. You can imagine a razor, double-sided razor, shaving our heads. Imagine walking on it. Little mistake and you can get nicked. So this pastime is reminding us of that. And Jiva Goswami also mentions in his Sandarbhas that today I might be practicing Krishna consciousness, but tomorrow I can be kicked out due to a small deviation or one moment of inattention. And he mentions... And as Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was mentioning in his seminar that he gave, Anavritta Shabda, that Jiva Goswami mentions that if one commits a few offenses, whether it's Naam Aparad, whether it's Vaishnav Aparad, whether it's Seva Aparad, whether it's Jana Aparad, any of these offenses, if we commit few of those offenses, we will begin to lose the taste for bhakti. We'll begin to lose the taste. It's not as palatable as it used to be, to read, to chant, whatever. And then Jiva Goswami mentioned, but if you commit 100 offenses, then you'll have difficulties in following the four regulative principles. And then he concludes that if you commit 1,000 offenses, then you will not be able to chant the holy name at all. So I think that's just a measure. I think the numbers are arbitrary. It just means little offenses, lots and tremendous amount of offenses. And then we see that even in our society, that sometimes those that were in positions of seniority, when they leave, they don't want to even chant. Sajiva Goswami mentions that so many offenses means you can't chant the holy name now even. In looking at similarities of Ajamil in that first chapter again, it mentions, comparing him to us, the qualities of Ajamil, it mentions, Ekada Shovanam Yata Pitra Sandesha Kritvija, that Ajamil, he was Ekadasa. Vanamyata, he went to the forest. Why? On the order of his father. On a mission for his father. It wasn't that he thought, okay, let's go to the forest to enjoy or something. He'd gone because he was ordered to do so. He'd gone on a mission. And why? To collect fruits and flowers for the yajna. And similarly, we're also on a mission on the order of Srila Prabhupada, searching for items of yajna as well. We're searching for souls to engage in the Sankirtan yajna. And Ajamil was trying to find things for the yajna. Very similar. And just as Ajamil, he saw the prostitute embracing, and he became very disturbed. This is something very similar for all of us, that this is an everyday occurrence on the high street. Nothing new. That was something hidden in the forests. But here it's a daily occurrence. Billboards. Big billboards. And worst of all, the click on the internet. You're on your own. So, Ajamil, he was just in the forest, but we're surrounded. And soon as our eyes, they fall on sense objects, we should know that you can become distracted. Just as Ajamil did. As soon as eyes fall on sense object, you should know you can become distracted. The first look at sense object is innocent. You can see a billboard. The first look is innocent. The second one, if you look again, you're contemplating the object of the senses. And if there's a third look, you're victimized by the sense objects. So we're surrounded. So we have to be careful. We have to check. And it carries on how Ajamil's life is very similar to ours. Because Ajamil then, after being in the forest and seeing this scene, it's described, Stambayam atma atmanam yavat satvam yatashutam nasasaka samuddhatum mano madana vepitam. That he, stambayam atma atmanam. He tried to control atma atmanam, his mind, by his intelligence. He saw all this and he said, I must control my mind by my intelligence. Yavat satvam yathashutam. And he tried to remember yathashutam, so many shlokas, so many instructions that he had received. So many statements of Shastra. But na sashako samadhatum. He couldn't pacify his mind. He couldn't pacify his mind. Mano. And what happened? Madana vepitam. He, his heart was overcome with Cupid or lust. His heart became overcome. He couldn't pacify it at all. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he asked the same question to Krishna in 3:36. Athakeno prayukto yam Atakina prayuktoyam. He says to Krishna, how is it that I don't want to commit sinful activities, but I'm being driven, I'm being forced, just like a firefly that's forced into the fire. Isn't it? The firefly will dive into the fire and kill itself, as if being forced. Can't control himself. So, atakena prayuktoyam. This is Arjuna's question. Same thing. And Krishna, of course, is answering, kama esha krodha esha rajaguna samudabhava mahasano mahapapma vidyana mihavarinam. That it is lust only, Arjuna. And if you look in the word for word, mahasano is translated as mahaashna, which means that lust is described as all devouring. Why? Because when lust enters our consciousness, it will completely devour our spiritual consciousness. When this word, when the acharyas speak on this word, mahaashna, completely devouring, they give two examples. One is of the lion. When a lion eats its prey, it leaves some bones behind. But when a python eats something, there is no trace. Totally devours whatever was there. And that's why lust is given the name Mahaashna, completely devouring. When it comes, it leaves no trace of any spirituality. Totally devours. Akbar and Birbal, in that pastime with his witty minister, Birbal, he spoke on this all-devouring principle and lust. And Akbar was sitting with his queen in the palace eating mangoes, and he carried on eating these mangoes. And then he called for Akbar. And when Akbar came in the room, he took all the peels and mangoes that were on his side, on his plate, and he put them next to his wife's. So his wife had a big pile of mango seeds and mango skin. And Akbar said to Birbal, look, just see, my wife has so much lust, she's eaten so many mangoes. And Birbal said, yes, my dear king, she is eating the mango, but at least she is leaving behind the peels and the seeds. But you are Mahaashna, you are so lusty that you are devouring the seeds and the skin. Mahaashna, describing this principle that lust devours. In Indian history, there was one king, and his name was Bhartrihari. And King Bhartrihari also spoke on this subject matter because he was overwhelmed by his queen, that he started neglecting all duties in the kingdom. And Bhartrihari was so enamored and overcome with this principle of lust, and he was so happy and in love, inverted commas, that upon seeing his wife, he was a poet. So there is a famous 100 verses that he wrote. They're called Sringara Shatak. 100 verses in glorification of his wife. This is romance at his best. The king, seeing his wife, from the top of his tongue, he recited 100 verses, which became very famous, Singara Satak. So once a sage came to the palace and he gave the king a ring, and he said, this is a very special ring, my dear king, and whoever wears this will get good fortune and protection. So please give this ring to the person you love the most. So he immediately gave this ring to his queen. And many months later, the courtesan girl who was fanning him every day, she came to see him and she said, "My dear king, I want to give you this ring." And the king looked at that ring and it was the same ring that the sage had given him. So he was puzzled. How is this ring coming back to me? And Bhartrihari then wrote more poetry after that. Digbam, he became totally disgusted because he figured out that he gave the ring to his wife because he loved her the most. But the queen, when she received the ring, she said, "This ring has to go to the person I love the most." So she gave it to the head of the military, the general. Now the general, whom the queen loved, received the ring and he thought, "I should give this ring to the person I love the most." And he loved the courtesan girl. And the courtesan girl actually loved the king. So the ring came back to the king. True story. King Bhartrihari. So he became disgusted and he wrote another verse, 100 verses. How love was not true in this world. he writes, "To hell with this love," and so on. Chanakya Pandit commenting on this, he says, if you want self-realization, you should think that you will die tomorrow. And if you want sense gratification, you should think you are eternal. Which is an interesting principle because we speak the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. But Chanakya says, no, but if you keep thinking you're eternal, then you will start enjoying life. But if you think you're going to die tomorrow, then you may come up with self-realization. In today's purport, there are some items which I mentioned. And specifically, there's an emphasis on sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra goi. So in the purport, this principle of sadhu sangha was the principle how Ajamil became saved. And in Vedic astrology, this term lava matra is used. Lava matra refers to an 11th of a second in calculation. So this verse, that even if you associate for an 11th of a second with the sadhus, with the pure devotees, you can achieve perfection. Rupa Goswami, commenting on this, of course, he mentions that there are 64 items in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 64 items of bhakti. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took these 64 items and he put them into what's known as the morning and evening program. That's what the morning and evening program is, the 64 items. And Prabhupada, he took the Tulsi Puja from the evening, which Bhaktisiddhanta had, into the morning and things like that. But of these 64 items, five are very important. They're called Panch Anga Bhakti, five potent forms of bhakti. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavata Shravan, Mathura Vas, Murti Shradaya Sevaya, of which Sadhu Sangha is given the most importance. Adoshada Tatak Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, again, Rupa Goswami states, very important principle. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada by the name of Haridas speaks on this from Bombay. He mentions how, for the first time in his life, he saw Prabhupada at the Cross Maidan Festival in Mumbai. Haridas is the one that makes all the Atma series and so on. And when he first saw Prabhupada, he became overwhelmed because he was one of the biggest thieves of Mumbai. So he'd come to the Cross Maidan festival to pickpocket everyone, because he was a very good pickpocketer. So he arrived, and whilst he was there, he just heard Prabhupada speak in Hindi. And whilst he was pickpocketing everywhere, one word caught him. And he looked at Prabhupada and he thought, maybe I should change my ways. So anyway, eventually he joined the Juhu temple. And Prabhupada knew of him. And he was working in the kitchen. And Prabhupada then asked for him when he was initiating. He said, I want this boy to come and take initiation. So Giriraj Swami and Thamakrishna Maharaj said, how can you initiate him? He's a pickpocket, he's a thief. And we don't know where he's going, what he's doing. Because he was famous in Bombay. So Prabhupada said, no, I will initiate him. So he was working in the kitchen, they called him. And Haridas says, immediately Panchadevira Swami, who called him and said, Prabhupada wants you. So Prabhupada said, today I'm initiating you. So just in a few hours. So he went to take a bath. And it was all rushed because Prabhupada had already gone. And Prabhupada was sitting, giving initiation. So when Haridas came to the initiation ceremony, and you know, generally you tend to get a bit bewildered when you're at the initiation ceremony. And if you're taking initiation generally, you forget what the principles are, you forget, you know, many things. So Haridas arrived there, and Prabhupada was said, where are your beads? And he said, I have to bring some beads. And he didn't have any beads. So Prabhupada had his own beads. And Prabhupada took his own beads, and he handed Haridas his own chanting beads. The original beads that Prabhupada used, apparently. He gave it to Haridas. Everyone was shocked. And Haridas remembers that one moment at Cross Maidan, Sadhu Sangha, one moment's association with the pure devotee can make so much difference. And he recalls that when he was in Juhu, because he was a pickpocket, he would work at night. So he couldn't sleep at night. So Prabhupada gave him personal service as well. He said, I translate at night, but you know in Juhu, all the dogs are howling. If you've been to India, you know it well. At night you hear the dogs. Woohoo! You know. And Prabhupada, you hear it in the tapes. If you look here, some of the tapes, Prabhupada is, the original tapes that they have, Prabhupada is translating. In the background, you can hear the howling of dogs. So Prabhupada would get disturbed. So he told Haridas, you chase the dogs every night for me. So that was his service, to chase away all of these dogs. So he was commenting on this one word, Sadhu Sangha, how important it was for him specifically. There is an analogy given in the Puranas of a merchant who had gone to find great wealth. And this merchant fell in a ditch. And when he fell in a ditch, he woke up, but he had amnesia. He'd forgotten. And the residents of that town, they found him in the ditch. And the local rule was that whoever falls in that ditch will be treated like a king in their village for 1 year. And after that, he will be sacrificed to the goddess Kali. So he had amnesia, and they said, you're the king of this place. So he said, right, I must be the king of this place. So they started treating him like a king, and he was working away as a king. And his brother eventually found out where he was. And he came to tell him that you're not really the king, because in 5 days from now, they will slaughter you. And he said, no, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. Eventually, anyway, he dragged him out of there. So the story really is about us, that we're also thinking we're the king, and we don't know we'll be also slaughtered in 5 days. And the sadhu is coming to remind us that don't stay here, you'll be slaughtered in 5 days. But we're not listening. Not listening. So this story is given in reference to specifically the principle of sadhu sangha. And finally, in the purport here, the mention is there of Prabhupada speaks about at the time of initiation, we change names. Why? Because if we simply remember our own name, at the time of death, we will be saved. Or at least he says in the purport there that we'll be saved from the greatest fear, which is going into the animal kingdom at least. And that principle was always there, that how our name should remind us of Krishna. The story is there of Hansadutta. And Hansadutta, his name originally was Hans Carey, German as you can get. And he didn't like that name at all. And he was really hoping that when he gets initiated, he gets a name that's nothing to do with Hans Carey. So Prabhupada, when he initiated him, he said, your name is Hansadutta Das Adhikari. So he said to Prabhupada after the initiation, what does my name mean? And Prabhupada said, I don't know. He said, look it up in the books. Look it up in our books. But Prabhupada said, your name I took because your name was Hans. So I used Hans Dutta. And your surname was Kerry. So I used the word Adhikari. So Hansadutta Das Adhikari. So he never wanted his own, that name, but he got that name. So Prabhupada was again, and he was always, this was always in his mind, what does this word Hansadutta mean? What is this word Hansadutta? So Prabhupada was giving class in India somewhere, and Prabhupada was speaking about various names of devotees. He said, yes, and your name means so and so. So Hansadutta thought, here's my opportunity. He put his hand up and said, Prabhupada, what does Hansadutta mean? And Prabhupada said, it means you're a servant of Krishna. And he said, the most important part of your name is Das. Not the first part. Because if you forget the second part of your name, it is of no use. And hence, of course, in our life, we have to also come to that purport that the most important part of our life, our name is the second part, which is Das, which is the principle that we're servants of Krishna. The story of Ajamil, yeah, on reflection, just, it's not that we all, in spiritual life, that all of us came and that all of us planned to fail. Isn't it? None of us plan to fail, whether it's in our job or in our spiritual life. None of us plan to fail. But what we do is we fail to plan. And that's one purport of Ajamil's story, that he failed to plan. Hare Krishna.